Luke 9:21-26. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let them deny themselves, himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's now time for the sermon, and the topic of our sermon today is Take Up Your Cross. And we welcome our brother Prospect Madaforo to share the word, and we look forward to learning more about this aspect of the fourth quarter's theme, living a life of sacrifice and service. Brother Prospect.
Thank you. Good morning, church, and compliments of the season. Let us pray. Lord, as we come before your presence this morning to hear your word, we are reminded, O God, that the word of God is quick and active and sharper than double-edged sword, piercing into dividing of the soul and spirit. Lord, we pray this morning that, Lord, you will teach us your word. Lord, we come that the Holy Spirit will open up our hearts to reveal your word to us. Lord, grant me grace, grant me utterance to share your word and to declare the whole counsel of the Lord and not my own. We welcome you, Father. We welcome you, Son. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The theme for the quarter, which we've been going through, is living a life of sacrifice and service. And today we are looking at a subtopic, which is take up your cross. Take up your cross. This topic probably will require a 3-day event to be able to really dig deep into what it's all about. But we are trusting the Lord to help us this morning in the short time we have to be able to bring out the whole counsel of the Lord. So we've read Luke 9:21-26. And to help us understand this passage very well, there are two key words there. Take up. Take up. And then we have your cross. So those are the things we hopefully the Lord will help us to a bit of unpack as we go through the study. So I want to look at it from four perspectives. It's on the screen just to make it easier. First is the foundation or the context. It's always important we understand the context within which the passage that we are reading. So we'll start from there. And then we'll look at the second point, which is the cross and Christ, which we'll see from verse 21 to 22. And we'll then look at the cross and the disciples. What does that tell us? We'll see that in verse 23 and also Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And then the cross and its implication. And that will take us between verse 24 and 25. So that's the outline where we're trusting the Lord to help us. So we'll start with the first one, the foundation or the context of this. And it's not part of it. It's just the three verses just before verse 21, which is from 18 to 20. In that verse, Luke 9, Jesus, in verse 1, he sent out his disciples and gave them power and authority, you know, to go heal the sick, to preach the word, and to cast out all demons. That was verse 1 of Luke chapter 9. And then 18 to 20, after all the things that Jesus has done, he was sitting with his disciples, reclining with them. And then he asked them, what do the crowd, or who do the crowd say I am? They said, some say you are John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, and others say you are an old prophet that has come back again. And Jesus asked the disciples and said, who do you say I am? Immediately, Peter answered that you are Christ the Lord. Now, that was very important for Jesus to start with that question, to know what their understanding of who he is was. And immediately, Peter answered that he was Christ of God. Another translation says, you are Christ the Messiah. I love the translation, the parallel scriptures in Matthew chapter 16. The Bible said there, verse 17, that, and Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter caught the revelation of who Jesus was. And immediately he understood it. That then allowed Jesus to proceed on to declare, this was the first, in verse 21 and 22, that was the first time Jesus was publicly declaring that he was coming to die for our sins as the Messiah. But it was such a hard thing for the disciples to grasp. So he didn't say it all along. He waited until they were able to understand who he is, which the Bible said that it was the Father that revealed that to us. Brethren, when God opens our eyes to reveal who Jesus is to us, it changes everything. It changes the way we worship the Lord. It changes our relationship with God, with others. It changes our perspective with life. And the crowd, we are in a Christmas season, where the crowd, when you ask people, what's the purpose of Christmas? Of course, you could see what the crowd will tell you, oh, it's a joyous season. We go out there, we make merry, we travel. That's what the crowd say Christmas is all about. But the question then is, for you, who is of Christ, what do you think, what is Christmas all about for you? It is an important season when Christ gave us the best gift to humanity. While we were still, he left his throne above and came down on earth to identify with mere mortals like you and I. That is the purpose of Christmas. And if we catch that revelation of what Christmas is, wow, it's a season of prayers, it's a season of sharing the word, it's a season of letting the light of Christ reach to those who are yet to receive that light of the kingdom. And so it's very, very important that we understand we understand the real reason Jesus came to earth, and which is why we celebrate Christmas on a time like this. Now, after having that revelation, after Peter have now understood, after the disciples have now seen, you know, the Father revealing to them who Jesus is, then he went on in verse 21 to 22 to explain the cross and Christ. Jesus was now confident because they've now understood. Before now, they had not understood. And it's important to also understand that, look, before they got this revelation, they were doing miracles. Look at verse 1. Peter went and they were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were, you know, performing, casting out demons. So to do miracles is the easiest of what Jesus can do for us. But the important thing that is the heart of the Father is that we understand who Jesus is and why he came to earth, and understand the change that happens in our heart and our lives when we freely give him the authority,
the freedom to reign as Lord and Savior. So healing, people chase today, everybody's chasing after healing, people are chasing, go to the crowd pullers are where there are healing going on. But if we look at this, the context of this passage, Jesus was freely giving it. He just asked them, go. But yet, despite the fact that they had gone heal the sick, performed miracles, cast out demons, yet they were yet to understand, catch the revelation of who Jesus was. And brethren, that is the heart of God. That as we gather every Sunday, seated here, hearing the word, have you really, really, if we ask you that question, who do you think Jesus is to you? What will be your response? Your response is so critical because that's what determines the way you view Christ. That's what determines your outlook to the things of God. And God will help us today to open our eyes that the Father will reveal indeed who Jesus is. It doesn't matter how many years you spend in church, because the disciples have been with Jesus all along. Until that point in time when they caught that revelation, it was then time to move deeper. It said there's so much easy believism all over the place. But God is looking for those who will know the heart of the Father, who will understand Him, who will understand His mission, who will understand the reason He came to the cross. And when the disciples caught that revelation, He then followed with the next one, which is explaining the reason why He came to die. They would not have understood it. Before now, the Jews were looking for the Messiah. And this Messiah, they believed they were under Roman occupation. As a result of being under Roman occupation, they were subjugated. The Jews, they were looking for that Messiah who can come with the political might to liberate them out from the clutches of the Roman rulership. And so, because of it, they were all ears open, waiting for when Messiah will come. Which why in verse 21, after Peter have declared this revelation, he said, please do not tell anyone this. I know sometimes when you read it, people want, why did Jesus say that they should not tell others? Because God, the kingdom of God works with timing. It was not yet the time. Jesus was waiting for the work to be completed. And that work of his Messiah will be completed when he went to the cross, die, and be raised again on the third day, and so that mankind can be saved. His focus was salvation of man, not the political liberation, but the spiritual liberation of mankind from the clutches of Satan. And he did not want that distraction. And he asked them, tell no one this. Of course, when we read further down, Jesus has now come, he died, and as he was leaving, he gave the disciples the commandment, said, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. No longer for them to hold it, but go out there. That is now the time to go and preach the gospel, to go and take the good news to the world. And that takes us to verse 22. And in that area, Jesus, after he had explained to them the purpose for which he was to come, Peter again said, Lord, they could not understand why he would be able to, the Messiah, then they coming to die. And Peter said, Lord, far be it from me. And Jesus said, look, get behind me, Satan. Satan was trying all he could to shortcut the purpose for which Jesus had come to this earth to die. But of course, Jesus would not take none of it. And remember, as Peter said it, he didn't say, oh, Peter, what is wrong with you? But he addressed Satan, who was behind that declaration in order to deter him from the mission. He wanted him to take the shortcut. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, we also read where Satan asked Jesus, just fall from the sky. And he took him to the pinnacle and said, look at all this. I will give you all this. Just bow down and worship him. Again, trying to find a shortcut. The kingdom of God does not work with shortcuts. It works with purpose. And that takes me to what happened just two Sundays ago. If you can please show me that Google map. We were coming after visiting one of our brothers in church.
and we're coming. We got to a junction just from Cowrie Creek Estate. Very interesting junction. If you look at the circle there, the road, the roundabout is just so skewed. I don't know if you leave that Essex, you would have come, you would have noticed that. So as I was driving, just the arrow pointing where I was driving, I was a bit confused. So is that am I turning into the left side heading into, or am I going, I'm going straight? Of course, the easiest route for me was to just go the other side and start without passing through the roundabout. It was the natural route because we like the quick, easy route. I would have had to now go and turn round. I said, look, this is the quickest route. I then went straight. But that was the wrong route that I had taken. But it was the quickest, it was the easiest way to go. And a lot of time, natural man wants to go the easiest path. But the easiest path is not always the right path. And that's why Jesus, when he came to earth, he said, narrow is the path that leads to life. Why broad is the one that leads to destruction. And so for us as believers, when Jesus had, and having explained this to them, he immediately began to explain one of the most important statements he had ever made, which takes us to verse 23. And in that verse 23, Jesus was explaining the purpose, explaining the implication of the cross and the disciples, which takes us to that third point, the cross and the disciples. And he says to them that if anyone desire to come after me, if anyone, conditional. The Bible study this morning was fantastic. I just wish, in fact, we would have just shared the Bible study. You go read it and we go home because it was loaded. If anyone is conditional, if you want to go deeper, and that's the people God is looking for. If you want to go further in your walk with him, Jesus said, if you want to go that further, look at what he said. I want to read that verse. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow him. This is one of the most strongest words that Jesus have used to describe the cost of following him. Because today everybody believes that is, confess your sins, believe, and then you're born again. Praise God, you're born again. But what happens afterwards is Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples understood the cost of following him. And those words are pretty strong. And the three key words that he says there, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. I said, and this is for anyone who desires. It doesn't matter who you are. It cuts across race. It cuts across tribe. It cuts across class. It cuts across any. The condition is if anyone. So the offer is open to you and I. If you want to follow Christ, now it's important to understand that there's a cost associated to following him. Now, Jesus wanted his disciples to understand this so that when the chips are down, they will know of the truth that Jesus, and they were prepared indeed to follow him. If we do not count the cost, if we do not understand the cost of following Christ, it's so easy to become, to fall into the path of easy believism. The first one, you have to deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? The intentional disowning of the self, or the stepping away from the relationship with self, as the primary alliance, as the primary contact with the Lord. Self is secondary. Christ and your allegiance to Christ is the ultimate. So when you're faced with a situation in which you have to make a choice whether you will toe the line of Christ or to satisfy the flesh, the Bible recommends, the Bible is telling us as the condition of disciple that you will take the option of denying yourself. It's not always the easiest option. It's not always the natural option. And that's why you have to be intentional in disowning the self. And to understand this concept is exactly what, when Peter denied Christ, when he denied Christ, what happened there? They asked him,
Are you a disciple of Jesus? No, I don't know him. I don't know who the person you're talking. He disowned Christ. That is the concept of disowning the self. Whereby you say, look, when the chips are down, I have my primary alliance and primary emphasis on Christ. Christ is my focus. Every other thing is secondary. Self is secondary. Christ is the ultimate in every decision you make. Deny yourself. And you see, Jesus was using this word that sounds strong, but yet profound, because that is what it takes to follow him. And that takes us to the second one, take up your cross. What does it mean to take up your cross? To take up your cross is to just literally understand what, to understand that concept, we need to see what the cross is for those who are living in the times when Jesus said that. It would have come as a rude shock to the disciples. Remember that Jesus at this point has not been crucified. And because he has not been crucified, mentioning the cross would have really jolted the disciples, because the cross in those times is only for condemned criminals who, on their way to be executed or to be crucified, is allowed or will be forced to carry that cross heading one direction, and that is the direction to be crucified. So when Jesus was now explaining the condition of discipleship, the condition of following him, and he was mentioning that they should take up their cross, it would have been a big jolt. For us today, we understand it, because we've seen Christ on the cross. By the time this was being said to the disciple, Christ has not yet, gone to the cross. And it was the picture of what that cross is that Jesus was emphasized. So what does that mean? It then means that it's a call for them to deny themselves. And in that denial, total submission to the Lord. Because at the point when the thief or the condemned criminal is carrying the cross, heading out to be crucified, is in total submission. He is one direction, one way, and that way is dead. So to take up our cross to follow Christ then means that when you have total submission, you've totally submitted to Christ, and heading out one direction, not two directions, to kill the flesh. Because self is what pulls us out of where Christ wants us to be. The flesh is always fighting, is always pushing to gain preeminence and prominence in our life. But when we take up the cross, we are saying, I'm crucifying the flesh. That's why Paul said that, I die daily. I die daily in the sense that every day, and this taking up the cross is not a once taking up cross and that ends. No, it is a daily affair. So every time you wake up in the morning, you say, today is a new day, Lord. I'm taking up my cross to follow you. It's a daily affair. It's not a once for all affair. We take up our cross. To take up our cross means it's a call to bear that part of the cross that Jesus, when you're following Jesus, involves. And it's a call to be submitted to Christ, to his will and his will alone. The cross there is literal, but it actually means, even though it's a literal, it means that we, in every day, as we face circumstances, as we face situations, we will mortify the flesh. You see, the flesh is one of the things that tries to pull us from becoming who God wants us to be. The flesh will do everything possible to allow us not to let Christ have dominion in our heart. But the Bible said, every morning when you wake up, daily, say, flesh, you have no part in me in obeying the Lord. Obeying the instructions, obeying the commands of the Lord that he brings to me today will be the primary and will be the ultimate for my life. And that's what Jesus is asking. He said, we need to take up our cross daily. Look at what Romans 6 verse 6 says. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. The old man, that old man is the flesh, was crucified with him, and the body of sin, might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. That old man being crucified is what Jesus is asking us to daily take up our cross. And this applies every day. We face challenges every day in order to let this word become a reality. We are faced with choices that come our way in the office. Somebody can, you see someone who will say some terrible thing against you. Even though they were wrong, you may be tempted to revenge. But when you remember that you have been instructed daily to take up your cross and follow Christ, you pull back. Because Jesus said, revenge is mine. And that reminded me recently, just about a couple of years ago, somebody in my office where I used to work before now, wrote, he wanted a job to be given to him. And the terms of the job was not in line with what company wanted as the ultimate. And we told him that, sorry, we can't give you this opportunity. Now, what happened is that after the guy pushed and pushed, I said, sorry, it's not me, it's the company policy. Because he was not awarded the job, he just went and wrote his stinker lies straight to the CEO of my company. It was all manner of lies. And I was called up to say, hey, look, we've got this petition that was sent, you know, because you have, he said that, you know, because you were not, he asked you for a cut that you didn't give him, you have decided not to give him the job. Fabricated all lies. You know, at that point, it was as though that, you know, the urge to, like anybody could say, to lay curse on the person for suddenly blowing up lies that has absolutely nothing to do with the situation that was, you know, in place. When I was, you know, called before the CEO, I said, all that was written there is a lie. Thankfully, the CEO believed what I've said because he knows the history. But I called the person afterwards. I said, you have fabricated a lie, but I leave you to God. God will handle you for me. And that's what I said. I've left the company. 2 years later, the guy called me from nowhere. I said, I have had no rest. For this last, I have not rested because of, please forgive me, I told a lie against you. I said, please, can you make sure you call the CEO and explain to him that it was lie that you said? And thankfully, the CEO agreed, but it took a lot of courage. I was literally boiling when I saw the petition he wrote. All lies. Complete fabrication. It was unbelievable. Those sort of things where you could be tempted to go and seek revenge immediately. But as I was praying and meditating about it, the Lord said, I will handle it. I just let it go. The guy had no rest for 2 years until he had to call to apologize. After he finished calling me, I said, please make sure you call the CEO. I took the phone and called the CEO. Thankfully, he believed me when it happened. But I said, please, this is what the call I just had from this person. I've asked him to call you as well to make sure that this is clarified. Every day we face those opportunities, those choices to let the natural man come out to show who you are. But let us remember that we are called to daily take up our cross and follow Christ. It's not about us, but it's about the flesh being crucified so that Christ will take the ultimate aim in our life. Praise the Lord. And then the third one is following Christ. Following Christ. First, a call to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and to follow him. And this following is a, you know what it means when you follow someone? It's a natural path. After you had denied yourself, after you had taken up your cross, in order to follow him. You mean you have your total alliance, your total mind has been submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and nothing will in any way take that away from you. You have to follow him. That's where we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. In that passage, it simply tells us that in view of what Jesus has done for us, in view of his obedience and his lordship over our lives, we are called to also live a life of obedience. And that salvation must express itself in the progressive Christian living and upright character. That's why he said, work out your salvation. He's not saying that work out your own salvation, because your salvation has already been paid. But now that Christ has paid your salvation, what then should be is that you would then let the life that Christ has given you progressively grow. In a lot of us Christians, we remain where we are year in, year out. We are not growing. We are not maturing in Christ. We are not maturing in our faith with the Lord. We are not. Nobody has a child for 3, 5, 10 years. The person remains crawling. Nobody will be happy. Nobody will be happy. And the same thing is God. He wants us to continue to daily grow. Daily let the Christian life, let the Christian living be shown to all. And this is one of the greatest challenges we have. That's why in Nigeria, our greatest need is the need for disciples to be raised from among the thousands and thousands that attend church every Sunday. Because we have not progressively grown in our Christian character. We attend church, churches are filled up every Sunday, but a few are following. Few are walking that path of discipleship. Because part of that means that they're daily progressing in your character, growing in becoming like Jesus. When you keep becoming like Jesus, that's what the Bible said in this Philippians 2:12, we are progressively working out our salvation, growing because of what Jesus has done for us. And then that takes us to the last and final, which is the cross and its implication, which we'll see from verse 24 to 26. What are the implications? Number one implication, verse 24, is that you save your life by losing it. Paradox. You save your life by losing it. And a good example is a seed. When you take a seed, you plant it. The moment you plant a seed, it dies. It looks as though that you have lost the seed by planting it, because it's going to die anyway. But after it dies, it then sprouts, bringing fresh fruit, massive tree. That is the concept when Jesus is saying you save your life by losing it. The other one is verse 25. Prioritize your soul eternal security over any worldly gain. What shall it profit the man if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So the implication of following Christ is that you will prioritize your eternal security in over any worldly gain. Because all the worldly gain are nothing when you compare them with eternity. Eternity far outweighs that. Jesus himself had the opportunity to gain the whole world, just as we said earlier on, but he found the life and victory in obeying God. And then the third one is, do not, if you are ashamed of Christ, that's what he said, being unashamed of the gospel, that's the cross and its implication, the third one. Being unashamed of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, is far more important than the temporary shame of man. Don't forget that Jesus, you're identifying with Jesus who is rejected, who was rejected by the chief priests and elders. So identifying with him means that some people will actually wonder, why are you identifying with Christ? And every day we are faced with choices to, be ashamed of Christ. But we are reminded here that we should not. When opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus, but you keep quiet because you don't want them to know that you're mixing official things with this gospel thing. So let's do the sacred and the secular. Let's divide it. But for a Christian, there is no secular sacred divide. The way you are on Sunday is the way you are on Monday, is the way you are on Tuesday. The same way you are when nobody is seeing you is the same way you are when you are being seen by everyone. Those are the things that will help us to know that indeed we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that we have believed in. As we wrap up, as we go to prayer, have you received that revelation of who Christ is? It's not about crowd, but it's about you, personal revelation of who Christ is. When you receive that revelation, it changes everything. That's what will enable you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. It looks difficult. It looks daunting. How can this be? But because the grace of God that giveth salvation has appeared to all men, it will empower you to say no to unrighteousness and to follow Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. What better time this season to start thinking about who indeed, how you can take up your cross daily and follow Christ. It is a call that is important. It is a call that has eternal consequences, and is a call that we must all yield to. Let's close our eyes in prayer. I don't know how and what the Lord has spoken to you about in this few times, where in these few minutes we're preaching this word. I know a lot of times we are chasing miracles, chasing success, chasing, you know, all things in this world. But Jesus is saying what we are discussing today is the most important thing because it has eternal consequences. If you're here this morning, you're not born again. You've not accepted Christ. You've not even started this journey of discipleship. I want to give you that opportunity to do that. If you're here, just place your hands in your chest. Wherever you're sitting, you want to say, Jesus, open my eyes. I want to catch a revelation of you. This revelation that has eternal consequences. Father, I pray for every person whose hand is in his heart or her heart. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal yourself. Open the eyes of these ones. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that Lord, as they yield their lives to you, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you come in and sup with them. Cause a change in their lives, O God. And Lord, for every one of us in the congregation today, Lord, those whom you are prompting to deny themselves, to take up their cross daily, to follow you. Those whom you are calling unto discipleship. Those whom you are calling to be disciples indeed. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will brood through their hearts. Lord, that this Christmas season will be a time when they say, of a truth, I started walking with the Lord this Christmas 2024. Father, we pray that the grace that comes from above be released to each and every one of us, O God. Lord, that we will not be ashamed of you or your gospel. Lord, we pray, Father, that we will not pursue the gains of this world, Lord, and take no clue, take no thought about the eternal consequences of what we are doing. Holy Spirit, we ask you this morning that you do this work in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for answering us, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.